Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Joni Cannelli, your host for Real Life Lessons. Our topic today is Get a Real Education. And our leading lady today is Gila Zanelli with the Rady School of Management at UC San Diego. Good afternoon, Gila.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Joni.
This is so much fun as we're here live at Rady doing a show. It's very different from normal, so it's even more fun to be able to work directly with you instead of doing this virtually.
Yes. Glad to have the face-to-face and have the Facebook Live as well.
Yep, we're on Facebook Live if anyone wants to tune in there as well. Let me tell you a little bit about Gila, though, first before I get into these juicy questions I have. So Gila is the founding member of Rady School's undergraduate program. She's been here since, when did it start?
In 2007.
I think it was, yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's been 11 years, almost 12 now. She's been an integral part of the developing of the dynamic and innovative program offerings, and we'll talk about that because they are certainly different from the usual. She's been managing its rapid expansion over the past 10 years and plus, and leading a team of high-performing staff, faculty, and students. So currently, Gila is the Acting Director of Undergraduate Education at the Rady School. So Gila, I have to start out with the first question here for you that the Rady School of Management is known on campus, at least, and probably outside, too, because we're getting a big reputation here. But it's known for its innovative programs and interactive style of teaching. So tell us about that and how you developed this culture at the Rady School.
Yeah, sure. So innovation is definitely in Rady's DNA. It's part of our mission statement, part of our core values. And I think that started just because we're the kind of scrappy startup around campus. So here we are in this environment at UCSD with these existing programs that have been with the university mm-hmm. since its inception. And so Rady being, the youngin' of the group, the new addition, we've really had to be dynamic and innovative in our thinking and how we work within the university. So my favorite story, I tell this story all the time. When I started 11 and a half years ago, there was one undergraduate class. Mm-hmm. My former boss, Clark Jordan, was the instructor. He was also the assistant dean of undergraduate education,
yeah.
And he taught 50 students. And this year, we will do about 14,000 undergraduate student seats. We have 200-plus sections of courses, and so many different subject matters are covered. So just shows you the tremendous growth that we've experienced over these 11 years. Rady has a little bit of a shorter chain of command, so we're able to be nimble and agile and adapt to industry trends, trends in student demands, so we can just capture those unmet needs and turn it into valuable undergraduate education. So that's been great. In addition to that, I also have my team. I'm working with a really high-performing team of staff and faculty, and it wouldn't be possible without the things that they do in order to keep us innovative. For example, our faculty are certainly contributing to the ideas for coursework that we're doing, the innovative subjects that we're covering in our courses, things like things that didn't exist on campus, like business psychology, business analytics, subjects like that, mm-hmm. That are being driven by the interests of our faculty. They're seeing industry trends and then bringing it into the classroom. So certainly the faculty, and my staff as well. This is my team is small but mighty. Mm-hmm. We really work hard to make sure we're anticipating any challenges and finding ways to prioritize and strategize and proactively solve problems before they become problems or before those challenges fully manifest.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you mentioned a lot of things here which were surprising mm-hmm. when you hear about a university.
Yeah.
First of all, a scrappy startup. Now, first, I have to tell everyone who's listening in here that Rady School is hardly scrappy.
Yeah. Well, we're fighters.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean. But it definitely is a nice-looking business school on campus. Yeah, so it's a good place to be. But nimble and agile were other words you used, and you think universities as being like good 10 years behind industry. And the fact that you've managed to put that together is really unusual
mm-hmm.
for some part of a university. I mean, that seems like how do you make that happen in a university environment? It seems like it might contradict what's here already.
Yeah. Well, we just had everyone had a vested interest in making sure that we were able to make decisions quickly. And so mm-hmm. I think that comes from the top. So our dean, Bob Sullivan, really was extremely responsive to the needs of the school and also the needs of the undergraduate program. And so we were able to kind of get things done quicker than if we had to go through a more long and drawn out approval process within
mm-hmm.
We're still subject to the processes of the university, but amongst ourselves, we can make decisions pretty quickly, and that agility has been really beneficial to the growth of the program.
Yeah, I can see 14,000, from 50 to 14,000.
Yeah.
It's huge, and all the different programs you mentioned,
the
different majors, minors, and all that, really interesting. Well, I want to get into a little bit of your story.
Yeah.
I mean, because Rady is interesting, but you are too. So how did you decide to go into academia? Was this something that was like a big goal for you, or did it just happen? Or
it kind of just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there were factors at play here, but I was not thinking that I was going to find my career path when I submitted my application mm-hmm. 11 and a half years ago. I applied to several different jobs, and UCSD was one of them. I did not know when I started that I was going to be here mm-hmm. for so long. But I think what initially drew me to the university, to a university setting, is that I'm a learner. I love to read. I love to be more knowledgeable about things. I love to take courses. So I think that that's what drew me to academia.
Mm-hmm.
I am a UCSD alum. I went to school here for my undergrad. I majored in economics. And I had a great experience, and I think that's what then drew me back. But I just kind of lucked out when I ended up mm-hmm. interviewing for this position at Rady, because I think that the values of Rady really align with mine, and so it made it a good fit. I'm not sure that I would have had the same experience had I started in another department here at UCSD. So I was really grateful that I ended up in the right place for me.
Mm-hmm.
My background, like I said, I'm a learner. I love academia, and now that I'm in it, I think that one thing I really enjoy, what keeps me coming back, is just the kind of energy on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm around other people who are learners. The students are certainly have so much energy and so dynamic. It's a really fun place to work for me because of that.
Mm-hmm.
To be around these people who are in this stage of their life, these students in this stage of their life, going on to do great things, and also to be around the faculty. I am around some brilliant people, And I find that really energizing as well, to be able to learn from people who are experts in their field, whether that be accounting or organizational behavior. I mean, it's really fascinating to interact with these people and learn a little bit of what they know. So I think that's also a great benefit. Yeah.
And you've also grown a lot. I mean, you started, what was your position when you started?
Yeah. So I started as a faculty assistant. So okay. You know, I was supporting faculty needs and ordering materials, reviewing, editing and reviewing documents and things like that. It was always with undergraduate education in mind, but there really wasn't that much support needed for undergraduates. So I've been able to grow as the program has grown. So I went from faculty assistant to then doing faculty support and student support, mm-hmm. and then more of the administrative side of things. So the operational, logistical pieces of the program as a whole, mm-hmm. and then moving on to being the director of the program. So having a hand in all the operational aspects of the undergraduate program, so student services and faculty support and faculty, of course. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the work I do is help develop people. So seeing that there were so many opportunities and that you were learning in this learning environment mm-hmm. along the way to develop yourself, that sounds like one real advantage to sticking to the same organization for so long. I mean, some people learn by jumping around to different companies, but you've had these opportunities come your way because there was so much growth.
Right. It's just, it's been a good fit for me. I think that I feel really good about what Rady's doing, and that makes me feel happy in the work that I'm doing. I think that we're really helping serve the needs of the students and serve the needs of the community as a whole by sending students out there that are better prepared for the workforce, and I feel good about that. So I'm proud of what we've accomplished with the undergrad program. And, you know, it keeps me fresh and wanting more. So.
Okay. Well, you have a unique experience here because this is something that I've been wanting to get to for a long time, these kind of questions with you. But I get to do it here live in front of everyone else so everyone else can share in my learnings here. But, okay, so you work with undergraduates, so the college students. I do a lot of work out there in companies. With the different generations, okay? And as we all know, there are all these conflicts out there between millennials and boomers and Xers and Zers are on their way up the ladder here too. So we've got a lot of friction out there. And you're working on both sides. You've got the young people coming through, and you also have their perspective. I was wondering if you could share some of the insights you have for people who might be working with some of these younger people and what they're coming through their college experience expecting and the different challenges that they may have faced that were, you know, are showing up in the workplace.
Yeah. You know, it's, I feel like sometimes students get a bad rap, you know, that we're this, millennials. You know, this is a stressful age for anyone. So the students that we're dealing with are really intelligent and engaged engaged people. And they're going through a very stressful time in their life. Being a student is tough. I mean, you know, I would give anything to go back to being a student.
Right.
But we're underestimating the pressures they're feeling, the pressures to achieve. This kind of uncertainty in their life where they're unsure, they've had a very lockstep kind of process through their younger years in grade school, high school, college, et cetera, and then they're about to embark on this total unknown. And I think that really creates a lot of fear, and then that can then translate into some, you know, unusual or unwanted behaviors in folks. But, you know, these... millennial, Xennial, whatever. These are outstanding young people, and I have always enjoyed the work I've done with students. I don't have any complaints about the generation as a whole. I think that they just want to go out there and do a good job. I'm also seeing that these students lately are much more engaged socially, meaning social type issues, social causes, than I've seen in the past. These students want to go out there and do good in the world. And I'm seeing more and more of that. And, you know, if that's through, if they're on their phone, you know, on social media all the time, and people are complaining about lack of personal communication, they're still out there trying to make positive changes in the world. So they're doing it their own way. So.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's a little reminder to the rest of us that we might be little dinosaurs out there, you know?
Yeah.
People are making a difference in new ways.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually, we have a couple new courses in social type topics. So we have a social entrepreneurship course, and you can't believe how fantastic some of these students are and the ideas they're coming up with, and, you know, they're doing good. So I'm excited to see what this generation brings. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to flip it around now and ask you to talk to these students, because you've seen both sides and you know what they're in for when they get out to some extent, right? And, you know, there's so much pressure on them today. So if you're talking to some of the young people, what are you saying to them? What would you say?
Yeah. So I would just say for college students, don't worry so much about your grades. So I that may sound strange from a person who works in a university setting. Your grades are important, absolutely, but it's not the most important thing. Your college days should be spent learning about yourself and about your interests. And sometimes you might make some mistakes. So it's fine if you didn't get an A in accounting. Maybe you shouldn't be an accountant. Right. You know, go and try and find what resonates with you most and focus on those things. Your GPA doesn't matter as much as you think it does. You know, you're not getting a job based on your GPA. You are going to get a job by the way you carry yourself, by your confidence in a particular topic, not based on your GPA. So I would tell students that they should, you know, don't take everything so seriously. Have a good time experimenting in college to find the area that you're most interested in. And if that's, you know, dance, then great. And if that's, you know, it doesn't have to be. Don't force a certain topic on yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Be open.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. I mean, this show is all about real life lessons, right? And so we're talking about real life here, and realizing that this academic life is part, you know, part of it, having these grades and all this. But in real life, you have to find something that you feel that you have some interest in,
right,
in doing. Otherwise, you're going to be miserable and may not even show up as well. You have to think about other aspects of life which you might discover and learn about while you're a student. Some of those social aspects are even more important.
Right.
Yeah, I find in the workplace a lot of people complain that some of the younger people aren't as willing to take risks. As they need to be. And so you're saying what you just said here, that maybe take some of those risks in college and, you know, don't get the A, maybe get a B instead or a C or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever, if you don't get it, take another course.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's what it's like in the real world.
Right.
We learn from our mistakes. So.
Right.
All right, so our parents are probably bristling as they hear that.
Yes.
So, you know, now we have some advice for parents, because I know a lot of our women leaders are parents and may have children who are in college, in fact, or are going to, and they're going, wait, stop, don't tell them not to get anything.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? What do you say to them, or do you deal with parents too?
We do. Believe it or not, we get phone calls from parents all the time, and I just think it's a real problem. That a student who's in their 20s, in their early 20s, is not able to communicate in this low-risk environment. Look, it's very low-risk to come in and talk to an academic advisor. if they're needing their parents' assistance, I'm worried about that student. But anyway, I think that's a result of all the pressures that parents put on their students, put on their children, mm-hmm. That they end up going into something they don't want, going into a field that they're not interested in. And, you know, I recall that not too long ago, we had a family come in and tour the Rady School and want to speak with us about undergraduate education. And it was a father and a 13-year-old.
Whoa, 13!
And he said, oh, this is my daughter, and she wants to get her master's in accounting. She's 13. You know, does she really, you know, so, and maybe she does. Maybe that person is a prodigy and is destined for accounting greatness. But, you know, I don't know that that's true. I think that sometimes it's just this pressure that parents are putting on their children. And I want to say I'm a parent as well. I have two little boys that are 2 and 4. And so I certainly understand the drive to have your children achieve academically. I mean, my kids are still in preschool, but, you know, I want them to color in the lines and all that.
Yeah.
but I hope that I can find a balance to let them figure things out themselves. And maybe, you know, take some risks and not be focused so much on the grades as more of just the whole learning experience.
Well, maybe part of that is defining what success means.
Yes.
And redefining it not to mean just being validated by grades and, and money, perhaps, too, that there's a lot more in life that you can define success as, you know, being a great friend or parent or you know, learning about other things, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to define success. Well, Gila, there might be some people who are listening in who want to contact you. How would they contact you after the show?
Yeah, they can contact me here at the Rady School. My email address is gzanelli, that's gzanelli, at ucsd.edu. And I'd be interested to hear what you have to say.
No, excellent. And you can also pick that up in the show notes after the show, too, if you didn't catch Gila Zanelli's complicated spelling.
Yeah.
So tune in and get on the web and find it there. I wanted to touch on another topic before we run out of time, and that is, you know, our show is largely geared towards women leaders. And I think of the universities as well as business. Particular as being, you know, tends to live traditionally more male dominated. Now, I verified this before asking this question. I'm like looking at the faculty and everything. I was like, yeah, still is. So, you know, what's been your experience and how have you felt empowered to rise up in the leadership role here at Rady?
Yeah, so I feel that Rady has been very supportive of me and my my career path. I have never personally felt here any major issues with me being a woman leader. I think we have some great role models here. Maybe not as many as we'd like, but there's some. I've also had some great female leader role models since I've been here. We have we also have a good deal of our undergraduate teaching faculty are women, and some many successful business women. So I think I'm really I'm seeing a good mix, and I think that. But in seeing that, it's helped me feel supported and confident in my abilities, for the most part. So yeah, and then I've also had my former boss was also very supportive of me and my professional development. So I really can attribute some of my success to the support I was given from him over the last 11 and a half years, and that was Clark Jordan. Recently retired.
I know.
So, yeah.
I know him, too, and I think the world of him.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll get him to listen in.
Yes.
So he can hear the compliments and the legacy he leaves here at Rady.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what about just in general? I mean, you've got this great perspective here at the business school. And, you know, again, we're talking about women leaders. What advice might you have for other women who are looking to be leaders out there?
Yeah. So I think that the most important thing is to have faith in yourself and not sell yourself short. So to really have a good assessment of your skills and capabilities, a realistic one. I think that women often downplay their capabilities, and, you know, I can be guilty of this as well, of course. So I think that women leaders need to really work on focusing on their strengths instead of on their weaknesses and areas for improvement. So that's what I would say. I recently read the Sheryl Sandberg book, Lean In, and I recall that one part that really resonated with me was that in job applicants that women will read over a job description and will only apply if they meet, you know, 100% of the criteria. And men, on the other hand, will apply if they meet 60%.
Right.
So it just goes to show you that, you know, we're missing the main issues. Like, you would be a great candidate for that job. You should apply, but you don't have to meet 100% of the criteria. So I would say that. The other thing I would say is to look for support. I think that women leaders need to find support. I have had support during my time. I joined a professional organization, a peer-to-peer mentoring group that's been very helpful. I think that's one means of support, getting support from other women. Also support in, you know, your family life. Ask for help from your family, your spouse, just making sure that you're feeling well supported in all areas of your life, both professional and personal, so that you can be your best at work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important for women leaders.
Yeah, well, that sounds like really sage advice, what I'm hearing. So I'm just trying to sum up some of what you said in terms of the real life lessons, you know, being resilient, being able to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Right. Both at school to sort of have this trial run here, and then at work, being empowered to take on these roles. And what you were just talking about is like say, hey, yeah, I can shoot for the moon here. I can try and apply for this job, and hopefully I'll get it. If not, I'll apply for another one.
Right.
Probably right. Authentic. Well, we heard you talking authentically this whole time, and. Being willing to talk about things that you might need to develop, but also thinking about your strengths and not being afraid to acknowledge that you have strengths, especially for women. And then limber, boy, that comes up all over the place in terms of trying to figure out what you want, trying different things out, and getting that support. Being willing to ask for help, I think, is another one, too. So any last words for our listeners, Gila?
Gosh, well, I really appreciated being on the show. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate anyone who's listening. Thanks for listening.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's our show for today. I'd like to say thank you to Gila for being our leading lady. So thanks, Gila.
Thank you.
And a special thanks to all our listeners. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m. I'm Joni Cannell, host of Real Life Lessons. Thank you for listening, and remember, real women are resilient, empowered, authentic, and limber.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.